Thanks for tuning in to Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. We continue our conversation on mental health care as well as general health per se. Joining me are two educators from UiTM, the Dean of Faculty of Medicine at UiTM, Professor Dr. Muhammad Zamrin Dimon, as well as a lecturer from UiTM, Dr. Jana Nasution, who's also a psychiatrist. Thanks for spending the time with us. Prof, let's start with you. UiTM has always been at the forefront of the medical training of students. And we'd like to just get a little bit of a recap into what has been happening at the medical faculty. Perhaps people who don't know about UiTM medical faculty can perhaps learn a little bit more, Prof.
Okay, thanks, Ibrahim. I think medical faculty of UiTM is one of the biggest, is the biggest faculty in Malaysia in terms of medical student intake. We took about 230 students per year, and the new thing about this year, the new coming, the new intake is we started to interview them through a multiple mini interview, because previously we only accept the student based on the UPU selection.
Yeah, so academic results.
Academic result per se, but starting from this year, we select them, we call them for interview based on certain criteria, and they go through the multiple mini station that range from the leadership, from the social, from the communication, from the ethic. So starting from this year, we receive a different kind of student, not only on the, they are good at the, one of the best at the academic performance, but we also screen them through the other skill sets.
Now, on the surface, it sounds great that you now have a multidisciplinary method of screening students. But on the practicality aspect of it, now it brings down the time of recruitment to, I guess, slower than what you would do before. How do you manage the
Yes, definitely. It's a massive exercise, because we took the whole faculty involved with the selection of the student. And we took about 1 week to select, to interview about 600 potential candidates. But because before that, of course, we screen the eligible candidate. Then not all candidate went through the interview. So from that interview, we select 200, the best 230, depending on the certain criteria that we set.
Of course, this is the undergraduate program. Yes. There's also the postgraduate program. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about that.
Postgraduate, we started to have the new innovation. We are at the UiTM nowadays. We are talking about UiTM DNA. D stands for disruptive. So in the postgraduate program, we introducing the new program which we call masters and doctorate program, especially for the clinical. So we are the first university that was given the task to roll on this new program. We will start this program with the cardiothoracic surgery program, where we start with 2 years of master's science in cardiothoracic, followed by 4 years of the doctorate program. So the other clinical program, we will embark on the 1+3, which is 1 year of master's and 3 years of doctorate program. This is something new, disruptive, as I said. But I think this is the way forward, especially it's conformed with the MQF or MQA requirement in
okay.
the country.
And the other N and A normally is called nucleic acid.
N is the...
I cannot imagine N that to be acidic.
N is actually the non-judgmental, and the A is about the agility.
You know, non-judgmental among doctors in Malaysia is going to be a bit tough, because yes. I remember a few years ago, the Dean of Medicine of UM, Prof. Adiba, I don't know whether she was a dean then, but she was going through a war of words with one of the doctors.
Yes.
People in the fraternity would know this. People who don't know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, there was an issue, something to do with LGBT or something like that, and then the doctor wouldn't treat an LGBT patient. And then, you know, Prof. Adiba got into a war of words, everything's a mess.
That one, I think Dr. Jana will
okay. elaborate on that. But that addresses the issue of non-judgmental.
Yeah, definitely.
And doctors have to be non-judgmental.
Yes, definitely.
Or else you're not treating the patient.
Yeah, I agree with you. And then when you're talking about today's topic on the mental health, I think the agility is very important. The agility of the student, our graduate, even it has to start with the staff itself. So we have to train that our staff have to be agile with the new needs, the new environment, the new type of student that we receive as compared to during my time is all different. So we have to be agile with that. So if we don't have this agility, then comes into the picture of mental health and mental problem.
Any process of transformation, for better or worse, is going to disrupt how people do the way they
yes.
do things
yes.
From the organization aspect.
Yes.
Not just the stakeholders that you serve, in
yes.
the sense the students and the patients.
Mm.
But when we go through this whole process of transformation, there's going to be friction.
Yes.
What kind of friction have you encountered so far?
Of course, the buy-in. Because they have the especially during among the staff, they have to get the shed the clear vision, what is going on, what is the direction of the faculty, and how we are moving on with the new way of doing things. Because when you talk about disruptive, there's a lot of things, a lot of groundwork that we need to do, a lot of communication, a lot of engagement with the staff and the students. I think there's a lot of things that a lot of works, a lot of activities have to involve, because
yeah.
the changes must be from the mass, from the crowd, yeah. from the staff itself, rather than top down. It has to be both way.
And how top have down you navigated that kind of friction?
Leadership, and also the role of all the head of department, head of the unit, and also the frequent communication. Nowadays, we can communicate through WhatsApp, through Instagram, through Facebook, and also various other ways of communicating, not necessarily one-to-one, but of course, sometimes we organize a coffee talk, for example, and also session with the dean or with the deputy dean of clinical, for example. So these are the way of engaging people into sharing the vision of the faculty.
Let's bring in Dr. Jana. Of course, you're a psychiatrist. It's one of the many subdisciplines within the Faculty of Medicine. And we've recently just celebrated World Mental Health Day. I've had befrienders here talking at length about, you know, how volunteers can actually help out people who are at risk, going through suicide, or just generally mental health issues. But they are just volunteers. They're not
yeah.
professional. Mm. I guess they are trained,
yeah,
you know,
trained,
but
yeah.
but they are not professionals in terms of, you know, treating medical health care issues pertaining to mental health. So when we talk about the kind of facilities or the instruments that the public can reach out, they're down to just befrienders. And even then, you know, there's some limitations when it comes to people owning up to the issues that they have. What is the landscape like for mental health sufferers here in Malaysia, and what are the options that they have in terms of reaching out?
Okay, thank you, Ibrahim. I think it's a very important topic that we actually look at the views of how public can reach out. I mean, we have done a lot of promotion and awareness on knowledge of mental health problems, but subsequently the intervention and the reaching out part, we are still working together, both in the university, in the Ministry of Health Services, and also with our NGOs. We have write up on the ways, or shall I say the flowchart, of how public can get themselves checked and get a treatment if they feel they need help. The Befrienders has been one of our biggest support when it comes to volunteer work. But we're also working hard for every hospitals, including the university hospitals, to be available for the public to reach out and to get help. On top of that, we from the UITM, from a different setting, we have a lot of students at hand, and we have, even Faculty of Medicine, we have hundreds and thousands of them. We need to reach out to each one of them to make them realize that mental health is something to talk about. It's okay if they don't feel okay. It's okay to talk about emotions. It's okay to talk about mental health. It's not about weaknesses and things like that. So that's what we plan to promote during our World Mental Health Day program on the 28th of November in Faculty of Medicine, UITM, Sungai Buloh. We are very happy that Datin Vivi Yusof has agreed to officiate this. And we are happy also to introduce our first UITM mental health outreach team. It's called Squad Peduli Minda. so that we want to bring education and awareness to our students and our university staff to talk about emotions and mental well-being.
UiTM is by far the largest educator in terms of tertiary education, in the postgrad, undergrad in Malaysia.
Yeah.
Spread across every single state that you can think of. Of course, you have main campuses here and there, but generally speaking, you're so diverse in terms of student location. How do you plan to make sure that each and every single student, not just in, say, for instance, you know, Sungai Buloh campus or Shah Alam campus, but everywhere in Sabah and Sarawak and many others, how can they reach out to this Gan Kuli Minda and many others?
Okay. It is important that we make ourselves visible, that people know that we are here and that we are willing to train students and staff and we are willing to reach out. We work together with counsellors in every other campuses, and we do promotional programs together. We want them to know that we also offer training to the students and the staff so that we can go to the primary prevention level instead of just treating the severe mental illnesses when they have already needing more intervention. We go to the primary prevention so that they have more awareness and they are educated when it comes to mental well-being.
No, my question is, how I'm a UiTM student, I'm in trouble, there's something wrong with me, I want to reach out. How do I reach out?
Okay, they can reach out to our counsellors. Each campus, they have a counselling unit. They can directly reach out to these counsellors. And we have our health services or health clinics, UiTM health clinics that the counsellors would refer to. And these health clinics usually, they can also refer these students to psychiatry department in our campus, in Faculty of Medicine or nearby hospitals, because UiTM campuses are everywhere all over Malaysia. So they can directly refer them to psychiatry department in hospitals that are near to their area.
Prof, this program, among the many programs that are being rolled out, not just by the Faculty of Medicine, but just the university itself. But this sort of highlights the need for the mental health awareness. Is there something going on at UiTM that needs to be addressed with these kind of programs?
That's what I said. When our previous student, they came in with the selection of student based on the result itself. They forget about the other component of intelligence. One of it is emotional intelligence and social intelligence. So when psychiatry department came to see me to introduce this squad, I think I said, yes, this is the way forward. Because when we have this squad, the important thing is about being a university and faculty, and we have the expertise of it, is we can train other people or the train of the trainers on how to deal, or how to, very important is to spot on the problem itself from the beginning. That is a primary prevention. So I think that's why when we talk about agility, one of the DNA component of UiTM student, even to embark this on this UiTM student, I think the student have to get aware what is mean by agility itself. So one of the component, I think, is the acknowledgement of emotion. Some people, they don't really acknowledge their emotion. And we as the faculty, because we have the expertise on that, we can train people, we can teach this at the mass. And then at the same time, you can focus on the
certain
area.
What would be some of the ways or the syllabus of training these trainers? Maybe you can share one or two.
Okay, we have some modules that we have included in our squad. And most importantly, one of it is mental health screening, is screening the students and staff so that they are aware of their own, you know, depressive symptoms, anxiety symptoms and stress levels. On top of that, we talk about educating them about mental health illnesses such as depression, anxiety issues, stress-related issues and also mood disorders. We also talk about coping strategies. A lot of our students are not aware of healthy and positive coping strategies, and resilience and tenacity. Resilience is, of course, a synonym of what Prof. Zamrin mentioned, agility. It's like bouncing back after they are faced facing challenges, because we get, especially in the Faculty of Medicine, we get students with good IQ, high IQ. However, with regards to the EQ component, they need a lot of resilience, a lot of good coping strategies. We also incorporated interpersonal skills, so they are aware of how to relate to one another, to communicate better, and also mindfulness therapy. These are all the new type of therapies and intervention that can help them with calm and relaxing components.
All right, we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with the educators from UiTM. Thanks for staying on with us. We continue our conversation with the educators from UiTM. We have in the studio with us the Dean of the Faculty of Medicine UiTM, Professor Dr. Mohd Zamrin Dimon, as well as the lecturer as well as the psychiatrist, Dr. Jana Nasution. Prof, as an educator, the challenge is not so much on getting the programs out, it's actually getting funding. Your university is suffering from the same affliction as other universities in Malaysia. Funding is a cut, generally speaking, because we have a new government, they're more prudent, whatever the reasons are, you have less money than before. And yet you want to roll out more programs. How are you going to manage these two things?
Actually, when I saw the proposal from SPM, the Squad Peduli Minda, so I can see the opportunities there, because this is one of the way to generate income. Because if they have the capability, they come up with a module, they can sell this module to other university, to other institution. Mm. In fact, when they conduct a training, they have been, I think, if I'm not mistaken, they've conducted a training at the Selangor state level. They have been invited to conduct, because this stress management is something that is very
No, not complicated. Common. Malaysians are, very generally common. Speaking, Malaysians common. Are poor in dealing with abstract
yes.
Problems. They're very poor, right? If I get into an accident and my leg is bleeding and half my leg is over there, people can address that problem. But if I go there and I say I'm stressed out, they say tak apa, solat ramanya. That's, I mean, that might yes. be a solution, yes. but you're not addressing the core problem that I'm going through, right? Mm. Abstract problem is always big. Hopefully yeah. your screening, funneling of new students can actually solve yeah. this.
So this is an income generation activity. And then from that activity, actually when we gathered a lot of data, and that data is actually can converted into research. And then from the research, you can also try to get secure the research funding from me. Because this is one of the common and then very stressing issues of the nation that you have to come up. Otherwise, especially when we are talking about the human-machine interaction, there's a lot of stress involved.
Right? I agree.
That's why I think, and we then faculty, when we get this proposal, I said faculty will support strongly.
Okay, it's interesting because this show, generally speaking, deals with technology as well as business, and both of them are stressors to an individual.
Yes.
I don't know, being an educator might be a stressful job. But when we talk about Malaysians using technology, social media, using screens in front of them, we are one of the highest in the world in terms of the number of hours spent. We had an interview with Facebook executive, and she's very proud to say that, oh, you know, Malaysians are the second highest in the world in terms of using, because she's proud, a lot of people are using a product, but generally speaking, worries me. Just yesterday, we had Ipsos, a research house, talking about how the consumers in Malaysia spend so much time on not just one screen. There's normally three screens. Mm. On average is three screens. So maknanya there's four or five screens in front of them, right? And it can be work, and then Netflix or something, and then you have social media. It's scary. And when you talk about the exposure of social media as well as technology to the regular human being, there's sufficient studies to show that this is just causing more harm than good when it comes to mental health. Do you think that these kind of programs need to be aggravated even more, needs to be spoken even more moving forward?
Yeah, I believe, because when we talk about the workforce in the future, apart from the AI, apart from the computer scientists, the second highest in demand is actually psychologists.
Mm.
So they are in the
right
in
field. The, like in you the got right a good field. Job lah right now.
Yeah, psychiatry, and at the same time, we have a clinical
psychologist. You got
to be
students. Itu satu hal pula kan?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the issue is not just psychiatrists.
Psychologists. It's
actually, yeah, psychologists, yeah. Counselors.
Yeah.
Those kind of field, right? Mm. And I don't know whether there's enough training that can be put in to actually equip these kind of workforce in the future. Because if you need 10 or 100, you know, counselors or psychiatrists or psychologists, you need the necessary amount of people to train them. Do you think that in Malaysia we have the sufficient trainers to train these kind of people for the workforce of the future, actually?
Yeah, as it is, I think number of psychiatrists and clinical psychologists are seriously scarce in Malaysia. You know, we have a total of maybe almost 400 psychiatrists, and to compare with one university in New York, they have the same amount of psychiatrists in just one university, and we have the same amount in the whole of Malaysia.
So what is the ratio? Ratio one psychiatrist to how many people in Malaysia?
Right. I'm not too sure the latest ratio. Yeah, but we are definitely undernumbered.
Okay.
Definitely we need more trainers, but you know, if what we are producing is small numbers, then that also means that trainers are
so also what in can it be explained from this? Why are we having so little psychiatrists in training or public service?
Basically, psychiatry and psychology is not really, even in medicine itself, psychiatry is not the most favorable subspecialty that people want, because you know, it's just imagining yourself always listening to, you know, stress and depressed stories.
I get
and things
paid
like
to do that job. I mean, I listen every day.
We also get extra leave for the, you know, for workplace hazard. We are getting more and more people who are more interested in our line of work. But still, you know, our culture is that emotion somehow is related to weaknesses and not enough spiritual well-being and things like that.
Hang on, I'm going to put a comma to that, because in Asian culture, generally speaking, that's the case. I mean, I'm talking about China,
correct,
Japan, India, you name it, right?
Yep.
That's how
yep.
Asians are being brought up.
Yeah.
You know, suppress your emotions, deal with it on your own time.
And you look stronger.
Yeah.
I disagree with that, because I think the acknowledging that emotion is one of the important components to overcome the stress.
Okay.
And that's why the most of the time when we did some of the survey in medical students or in any university student, their stress level is high because they don't really express the emotion. They don't cry when they have some difficulties. Of course, not crying like the normal cry, but
it's
something that when they have difficulties, of course, get some rejection from other people, from failure from the exam. They don't get what they're expecting to get. So this is some form of failing or rejection that they don't express.
When we talk about transformation operations or strategies that is being rolled out, organizations that have smaller goals tend to transform better than organizations that have bigger goals.
Mm.
Right now, the way I look at it is, what you're doing, Prof, is trying to transform not just the Faculty of Medicine and also /UiTM, just let's be frank, it's a big organization.
Mm.
You are trying to transform the society of Malaysia into how people are going to be accepting mental health per se.
Yeah.
That's a huge goal. Are you confident that you can succeed?
I think that's the role of this squad, because when we come up with that, the idea of having a squad is to train more people. We cannot train, we have limitation in training the psychology and also the psychiatrist, but we can train the second level of the trainers. Mm. I think this is the role, because we are an educators, so we have to come up with how the faculty, how the university can be of use to society, how we can engage with the society, and this is one of the way.
The duration for Master of Medicine in Psychiatry
4 years.
Awarded by UiTM is 4 years.
4 years, yeah.
And per batch or per cohort, we're talking in the teens. So, you know, maybe 10, 15, 20 per cohort.
Yes.
With a dropout rate, I don't know what the percentage is, there is a dropout rate.
Yeah.
So essentially every year you're getting like 10 people graduating, you know, congrats. Mm. But is that enough? You know,
definitely not enough.
That's scary, man.
Yeah.
You should reduce your EQ upper filter, hiring more students, getting in. People are scared, right?
No. But then, you know, if we just take everyone, not everyone can actually handle the job scope later on, you know?
can imagine.
Yeah.
No, again, you know, it's not that I can imagine. I know exactly how it feels, right? I'm married person that is. Yeah.
But I think I'm very privileged that our dean, Prof. Zamrin, is very supportive of our work because we need to start somewhere. Okay, if we don't start somewhere, then.
Okay, so Masters of Medicine in Psychiatry, 4 years. How long does it take? What's the duration like? For training these kind of trainers, more counsellors, more psychologists?
Minimum for Master of Medicine Psychiatry is 4 years if they graduate on time. While clinical for clinical psychologists, they have to do degree and then master's in clinical psychology, 2 years.
Okay.
And for counsellors, they can do degree in counselling. Mm-hmm. So we have more counsellors because they are the gatekeepers. Mm. And then subsequently, the more serious cases will go to clinical psychologists and the more severe ones go to psychiatrists.
Of course, this is the formal training and education.
Correct.
There's also workshops and stuff like that. What is it like going through these kind of workshops? Do you have a duration in mind or something?
You mean for squat per delimino?
Yes.
It is really on case-to-case basis because we need to know the requirement for how many students that the campus or the department would need from us. And it won't go for many days because our modules are stick to 5 because we are focusing on primary prevention, which means basic knowledge and awareness that they need to have. So it would be around 2 to 3 days for us to have this training, and it would be on, in the future, along the pipeline, it would be on regular intervals with the peer supporters for selected group of students.
So if the public wants to learn more about this, is there a place that they can go to?
They can go to our website, Faculty of Medicine. It is in the pipeline of putting our squad in under the Department of Psychiatry, under our medical faculty website, UITM Medical Faculty website.
Prof, do you have any last words for people, you know, wanting to learn more?
I think the formation of this squad is not to treat the whole problem, because most of the stress-related or mentally-related disease can be managed at the primary level. Mm. Only the problem, the severe one, that need to be referred to psychiatry. So when we have this squad peduli minda, actually it can reduce the workload of the psychiatry, and then psychiatrists and also the clinical psychologists, so they can train more people to get aware of this disease. I think this is the role of our faculty and our contribution to the society.
A key factor in medical operations is always triaging your patients.
Yes, correct. Right. So this is the way that we propose to with this formation of the squad.
Alright, great. If you want to learn more about this particular program, just head on to UITM's medical faculty website. If you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to astronomy.com. Look for Notepad over there. There's plenty of conversations talking about technology, business, mental health care. This is my, I don't know, 5th interview regarding mental health care. There's going to be one more tomorrow, actually. Talking more about these issues. If you want to learn more about this, just head on to astronomy.com. Look for the kind of interviews there. You can also watch this interview on our newly launched app. Just head on to the Google Play or the Apple App Store. Download the freshly minted Astro Awani app so you can watch these interviews on your devices. Until next time, thanks very much for watching. Goodbye. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.